Hello, and welcome to another episode in the Naxos Sounds Interesting series, an engaging potpourri of musical topics. This episode is called Found in Translation. Music must be the leader among the arts when it comes to what one might call high-quality spin-offs. By that I mean many compositions exist not only in their original version, but also in what might be called, well, what does one call them? We have different words for our industry of remolding originals: transcriptions, orchestrations, paraphrases, arrangements, but the end products all seem to blend happily together as being from the same creative stable. This podcast episode spotlights some of these translations that may not be familiar to you. This is Naxos, after all. It's not only musicians with limited talent for creating original masterpieces who enjoy indulging in a bit of makeover. Arnold Schoenberg, whose serial music may put a frisson up some people's auditory channels, also produced much more accessible tones and was clearly having a ball when he arranged Brahms' Piano Quartet No. 1 in G minor for orchestra. But why should a great musical revolutionary bother himself with such a seemingly trifling exercise? Here's part of the answer from the master himself, in an extract from a letter written to the press in 1939, outlining his reasons behind the transcription. "My reasons? I like the piece. It is seldom played. It is always very badly played, because the better the pianist, the louder he plays, and you hear nothing from the strings. I wanted for once to hear everything, and this I achieved. My intentions? To remain strictly in the style of Brahms, and not to go further than he himself would have gone if he had lived today." One may be inclined to query that last statement in light of the finale's xylophone and glockenspiel parts, trombone glissandos and double-tongued presto passages, muted trumpets, divisi strings, and numerous cymbal crashes. Here it is. Thank you. Edward Elgar began his transcription of J.S. Bach's Fantasy and Fugue in C minor 16 years earlier than the arrangement we've just heard. The composer had similar notions to Schoenberg's when he said that the purpose behind the transcription was, quote, to show how gorgeous and great and brilliant Bach would have made himself sound if he had our means. Organists who play Bach's original should now prepare their eyebrows to rise as we listen to the fugue in C minor.
Thank you.
Maurice Ravel's orchestration of Modeste Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition for piano solo did much to give the work a kiss of life through its cosmetic makeover. Mussorgsky's original score wasn't published until 1886, 5 years after his death, following which there was a rash of composers who were seized by the inspiration to orchestrate it. Pictures at an Exhibition creates tableau in sound from pictures viewed during a visit to an art gallery, including titles such as The Marketplace at Limoges and Catacombs. The Ravel orchestration was the result of a commission by Serge Koussevitzky and the Boston Symphony Orchestra in 1922, which carried a fee of 10,000 francs and a canny 5 years of exclusive performance rights. We're able to listen to Koussevitzky himself conducting the Boston Symphony in a live 1943 performance of the work, so there's probably a deal of authority in his reading. We'll hear the movement titled The Ballet of the Chickens in Their Shells, first in its original form for piano, followed by Ravel's orchestration. Time now for a couple of paraphrases, defined by the dictionary as a restatement of a text or passage giving the meaning in another form, as for clearness, which seems a strange thing to do to a model of simplicity like chopsticks. Yes, the very same tune we possibly all cut our teeth on at the piano. The Russian composers Borodin, Kui, Rimsky-Korsakov, and Liadov enthusiastically collaborated on a set of piano variations on the short tune for Borodin's Daughter. It was subsequently passed from arranger to arranger, and I'm sure you'll have no difficulty spotting the melody in this arrangement by Nikolai Cherepnin of Rimsky-Korsakov's original paraphrase, if you follow me. The work's full title is Tati Tati, an arrangement of Rimsky-Korsakov's paraphrase Chopsticks. We'll hear two of the movements, Tarantella, followed by Carillon, in an archive performance given by the Columbia Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Werner Jansen. I couldn't resist choosing a piece by the 19th century composer William Vincent Wallace as the second example of a paraphrase, possibly as much for the composer's extraordinary life as for the music. Born in Ireland, where he married, he emigrated to Australia in 1835. 5 years later, he abandoned his family in Sydney and is said to have complemented his earnings from music with stints at sheep farming and whale hunting. There are also tales of how he narrowly escaped being eaten by cannibals, was mauled by a tiger in India, and caught in an earthquake in the South Seas. He returned to Europe for a period of composing, including the completion of the music for his opera Maritana, but threatened by blindness, he was sent by his doctor back to South America for treatment. From there, he traveled to New York, where in 1850, he became an American citizen, and in the same year, bigamously married the 23-year-old pianist Helen Stoppel. Returning again to Britain, he settled in London before ill health forced him to head for the Pyrenees, where he died in 1865. And while you're digesting all that, plus a pinch of salt maybe, we'll end with an extract from his own paraphrase for piano of music from his opera, Maritana. Thank you for tuning in to this Naxos Sounds Interesting podcast. For the text version, visit blog.naxos.com, where you'll also find an alternative audio series devoted exclusively to new releases from Naxos.